From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Oh, hey there, children of the night. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and still doing the solo show, still out of the studio, and COVID's still happening in the world around me. But that's okay. I'm happy to be here and happy to entertain you folks on our weekly episode. If this is your first time ever listening to us on Bob After Dark, what we do is we cover legends, lore, and the supernatural. We talk about weird, creepy, strange news of the week, and we also cover a little bit of lore of the week. I take viewer submissions for news stories, for ghost sightings, cryptid sightings, weird situations that they're going on, and we rope it in all in one wonderful weekly edition. If this is your first time ever listening to me on the Apple Podcasts, make sure you jump over and leave a 5-star review. I like to read those out loud, and I did not get one this past week, so make sure you guys get over to the Apple Podcast, leave a review. I read all of them, and I'm very excited to be able to share that with you guys. The ratings help me get discovered more, and which in return helps me be able to produce a better product week to week and being able to get exposed to more people. So if you guys have a moment, make sure you jump over to the Apple Podcast and leave that 5-star review. Without further ado, let's dive into a couple weird spooky news of the week. Our first news story comes to us from Becky. She sent me an article from the anomalyalien.com where they're saying that there might have been a possible dinosaur sighting. It's saying that a large bird-like creature has been occasionally reported in the skies above the American Southwest, and even the most seasoned bird watchers can't figure out exactly what it is. This bird has a wingspan up to 20 feet, and its most notable features are a large beak and a large bony crest on the back of its head. What catches most observers off guard is its absence of feathers. Upon closer investigation, the bird does not actually have wings, but a thin layer of skin running from a long finger on its hand to lower leg. The skin is shaped to be like a wing, but it's used to glide in the air currents much like bats do. Most paleontologists will tell you that this is a thetasaur, or a pterodactylus, or a pterodactyl, a flying reptile from the Mesozoic era. Has been extinct for 60 million years. However, with several recent sightings, many suggest that these large flying reptiles are very much alive. What really interests me about this case is it reminds me so much of the Thunderbird photo that was printed once upon a time ago when the people thought that they shot one down. And some scientists believe that there's potentially could be an actual, you know, pterodactyl that is somehow still alive from the dinosaur ages. My question is, if it is a dinosaur, why is it that we're seeing very few of them? I mean, it makes sense why we're not seeing so many of them, but why is it that we've never really, like, seen them and caught them and able to study them? Are they that much of an aloof creature? In which case, if it's not a dinosaur, what exactly could this be? Is it possible that the Thunderbird of Native American folklore is an actual real creature that really exists? It is very much possible. I'm interested to see where we go from here. Scientists are actually going to buy into the fact that this thing is potentially real, and we actually conduct real life investigations and real scientific backings behind it so we can prove whether or not that this is a cryptid, or is it a dinosaur that has survived all of this time? And maybe then it gives some validity to certain creatures like Champy over in Lake Champlain, New York, or the Loch Ness Monster. Instead of cryptids, is it possible that there are just some species of dinosaurs somehow managed to survive all of this time and has been very, very much aloof to a public eye. I'm interested to see what happens next. The next story actually comes to us from our regular on-again, off-again co-host, Steve. Steve shared with me an article written about a group of people that are trying to get a petition going to remove all of the Confederate statues in West Virginia. Now, normally I wouldn't share something that political on the show, but it definitely has an interesting paranormal tie. The group of people that want to remove the statue also have a subgroup that wants to remove the statues, but replace them with more statues of Mothman in West Virginia other than the one that stands famously at Point Pleasant. I'm very much interested to see how this pans out. In reality, are they going to replace all of those statues with Mothman? Probably not, but I have seen a lot of support from people that have come up with ideas on how to raise the money to get this, you know, these statues put made. Steve came up with the idea of removing all the heads and just putting Mothman heads on the Confederate statues that stand. Either way, I'm pretty proud of the people of West Virginia wanting to stand up for what's right in the social sphere that's going on right now. And the fact that they're embracing something different from their culture that's not such a weird dark spot on history. In fact, they want to kind of show off something, you know, potentially positive. And I all for one think that maybe making a Mothman statue is maybe a good idea. It's definitely still showing culture for West Virginia as it being probably one of the most famous cryptids of all time, and arguably probably the most famous right now. It's interesting, and I'm really curious to see how this goes. I want to preface this next story by saying that I am not from India. I do not speak the native dialects that the native people of India speak, and I am not able to enunciate, even though I tried listening to the enunciation spoken to me. I'm not able to fully explain the proper names. There are some I'm able to do, and then some I'm going to have to try my best, and then there's going to be some that I'm going to skip because I do not want to cause disrespect to the people that are researching this project because it is very interesting. So, experts are baffled by a lake that changed color from green to pink literally overnight. Loner Lake, or also known as Loner Crater, which formed after a meteor hit the Earth some 50,000 years ago, baffled experts in India after changing hues literally overnight. Located at about 500 kilometers from Mumbai in India's Maharashtra state, the Loner Lake has long fascinated scientists with its seasonal color changes. The natural phenomenon has been attributed to the salinity of the water and presence of algae, but the change never really occurred sudden or as glaring as it is this year. Plus, while the water of Loner Lake is usually a reddish hue, this year it turned pink, baffling scientists and locals alike. In a case of natural phenomena, there are fungi which create a greenish hue to the water most of the times. This, the current color change, seems to be a biological change in the Loner Crater. That's from Dr. Mahan Sahavji, and he is the head of the geographical department of the Marthawada University, and said, adding, "This can't be a human intervention. There are algae in the water body. The salinity in algae can be responsible for this change," a member of the Loner Lake Conservation Department Committee confirmed. "There is no oxygen below 1 meter of the lake's water surface. The low water may lead to increased salinity and change in the behavior of the algae because of atmospheric changes. This could be the reason for the color change. This is not the first time the color of the water changed. Samples of the lake water have been sent to several laboratories hoping to find the answer for this natural enigma," According to CNN News 18, Lunar Lake is a popular tourist attraction and has been studied by scientists all over the globe. The first thing I thought about when I saw this was I thought about Ghostbusters 2. Remember the, you know, the River of Slime and stuff, and how slime came to life and was attacking New York City? That was the first thing that came to mind, but man, it's really strange how real quick that algae could just change its hues and be able to change its behavior like overnight, especially if they're not used to it changing that rapidly. And I just want to chalk this up as a yet another phenomena that the year 2020 has presented to us. Maybe it's all signs leading to something else, but I guess the benefit is at least it's not turning into a body of blood, because then that would be definitely a bad sign. I'd say pink slime, probably easily studied. All right, folks, that does it for the news of the week. Do you have a weird, strange news article that you came across during the week between broadcasts and you want me to share on the show? Feel free to shoot us a Facebook message at the Bob After Dark Facebook page, DM us on Instagram at Bob After Dark, or you can email it, bob@bobafterdark.com. I'd love to share all the stories you guys have. There is so much that comes out week to week that I could easily do a podcast by itself where I just cover weird paranormal headlines, but unfortunately, I need to have time for everything. So if you come across something that you think is so interesting, I promise you I will share it. So don't hesitate to reach out, and you'll get a shot on the show just like Becky and Steve did this week. All right, folks, why don't we take a quick little break? I want you to hear some words from a podcast that you should be listening to. And when you come back, we're going to talk a little bit about a new online phenomena known as Siren Head. Stay tuned.
Hey, true believers and new believers, this is Dr. David Hickney. I am a PhD in cryptozoology from MIT, and I'm the host of Freak of the Week. What's Freak of the Week? It's a podcast where people can call in to talk about all the crazy creatures and phenomena that are out there. Join me, my co-host, Dr. Elizabeth Marin, who may or may not be my sister. Spoiler, she is my sister, as we discuss such amazing topics like the ghost of Dave Coulier, the lost city of Miami, aliens, feline warriors, and much, much more. Freak of the Week comes out every week, hence the name, on Fridays. See you then.
And we're back. You know what never ceases to amaze me? The concept that a confirmed fictional character causes so much fear in people. Horror movies cause nightmares, video games cause jump scares, and creepypastas are scaring the world inside the internet. I am definitely in that category myself. If you didn't know, in my early 20s, I discovered a creepypasta known as Hypno's Lullaby. It involves a Pokemon by the name of Hypno, kidnapping kids and keeping them in a cave, torturing them through means of nightmares. Someone online made a song on that creepypasta called, well, Hypno's Lullaby. I was a grown man at that point. I was well-versed in the world of the paranormal. I was studying it regularly. And despite my well-known fear of dolls, nothing ever really scared me. But let me tell you, this Hypno's Lullaby was scaring me to limits that I didn't even know existed. I worked late nights at the time, and I remember driving home and constantly checking my rearview mirror, thinking that Hypno himself was waiting for me. Biggest horror movie trope, right? It was so bad. You know, I would be working late nights in this building, and I would think that Hypno was like stalking me, waiting to attack me around corners. Anytime I'd enter an empty room, I thought he'd just be there in the shadows. I was plagued with nightmares. I was freaked out. I was scared. And I knew logically that Hypno wasn't real in physical form, but my imaginative brain kept creating him popping up in my world. It got to the point where I finally said enough was enough. I reached out to a guy I worked with at the time. He was a profound witch and a medium who did many paranormal investigations and other workings of the time. I asked him what he thought about what was going on with me, and he thought maybe it was the mischievous spirit that latched onto me based on the fear I was having and was causing that fear to magnify. And it was basically just leeching off the energy that I was giving off now as a parasite. He cleansed me with simple sage and a basic ritual, and lo and behold, my issues were stopped. Whether the issues I had were gone by metaphysical intervention, or I had a placebo mindset that may be up for debate. Either way, I felt a lot better. I remember I had one more nightmare after that about hypno, but I remember kind of taking control of that dream and telling him basically to go fly a kite. He left and never bothered me again. To this day, when I think about it, I still feel uneasy about my experiences, but it doesn't control me like it used to. The reason why I was sharing that experience with you is because it came up again when a real-life friend of mine and fan of the show, Joe, called me. He asked me what I knew about something called Siren Head, and I had to stop him in his tracks and ask him, what's a Siren Head? I am pretty well-versed in the world around me paranormally, and I never heard of this thing. And I basically told him, like, that's the silliest name I've ever heard. And I guess looking back at it, I deal with things called Mothman, but I digress. I was explained that it's some sort of creepypasta thing. He explained that his son was having insane nightmares about it. Now, I was still confused on what exactly it actually was, but I also wanted to help his son get through exactly what he was going through. Joe told me a little bit about him. Him being Siren Head. His basic idea that it was some sort of giant with no skin. Instead of a head, it had two sirens, and it was basically scaring kids on the internet. I asked Joe about his son, asking if he typically gets freaked out about said things, and said no, his son's a pretty brave kid. Joe was concerned after his son brought it up to him and asked if he was real. Joe's like, I don't know what a siren head is, and he did a little research and found out that his son was afraid of a creepypasta thing. And he thinks that his son's fears of this thing probably stem from his fear of storms and storm sirens. I asked him if I could speak to his son and see if there was a way I can help. With Joe's blessing, we shared a conversation and gave me permission to share his experience on the show. Upon talking to him, I found out that he was just afraid of this thing that he heard from a YouTuber called Markiplier. There was some sort of doctored video of people strapping a camera to an RC car and went through a pipeline to get to the area that this thing lived. It caught video evidence of it, and this thing chased the RC car at, like, lightning-fast speeds and broke it. I asked him why he was so scared of this thing, and it doesn't seem so real, why? And he explained that this thing had super strength and was able to knock down trees, and he also confirmed Joe's worry about his fears of storm sirens, really emphasizing that this thing was able to, I guess, scream at you in different pitches. And this thing hangs out in woods, stalking its prey, and can change siren tones at will. I want to point out that I have no children, and I have very little experience dealing with children's fears. My metaphysical help that I offer usually gets taken up by adults and teenagers when I meet them at conventions in person. A way different demographic than what is a scared kid on the phone. I had to think on my feet, and I just pretty much told them that it was a story made up online to scare people, and I promised them that if Siren Head was real, me and his dad would beat the thing up. No problem. He seemed to cheer up and become a lot more brave, and I was very excited about that. He also informed me that Siren Head is going to destroy the world in some popular game called Fortnite. I don't know. I thanked him and Joe for their time, and I wanted to dedicate this episode to Joe and his son. Although it may not be Creepypasta Month, let's dive into the story of Siren Head and how he may as well be the Slender Man of this generation. Siren Head, also called Lamp Head, was created by artist Trevor Henderson. Trevor was brilliant in the fact that he drew an image up and came up with loads and loads of lore, occasionally updating his Twitter with new bits and various theories about him, and encouraging fans to write up their own, like, fan fictions about it and their own sightings. And he's basically created a reality, an augmented reality game for Siren Head, and let the fans dictate how it goes. Siren Head is a tall, thin, and mummified humanoid figure. In the original two drawings of him, he was depicted as having two sirens for head, emitting sounds such as conversations, white noises, static, and extremely loud noise-damaging noises. The second photo shows Siren Head with that of a street lamp, hence the name Lamp Head that he's sometimes referred to as. It is said that Siren Head can manipulate himself to fit the world around him. Siren Head's body is made up of veins, old decaying skins, and wires that twist up its body and around its neck. One of his abilities actually mimics that of like a Wendigo or the Yoko Ono, being able to play the sounds of its victims to lure mirror people out. This is accomplished by a tape recorder being strapped to his body and able to record sessions of his prey. It is able to mimic human technology. Despite its lack of eyes, it can still see, and can manipulate tech around him to play the sounds coming from it. It spends most of its time standing still in the woods, but when it runs, watch out. Siren Head has various powers and abilities according to various wikis, the Villains Wiki, the Creepypasta Wiki. Mimicry. Siren Head can release sounds of news broadcasts, human conversations, sirens, and screams. One report claims that he was able to kill people by mimicking their friends' voices. It can play a broadcast to block out the cries of his victims. He also has strength. Due to his size, Siren Head can break trees and various objects at will. It is also said that Siren Head has super speed and can keep up with a fast-moving car. It also is extremely stealthy, able to blend inside a forest or a tree. He can remain motionless for days, and scary enough, can camouflage itself in a school or a home disguised as a regular PA system. I wanted to point out a couple different tropes here that came up, and it reminds me so much of Slender Man, but it's a little different in the way it reacts. So Slender Man is this weird, creepy figure that stalks out in the woods and, you know, hunts down children. Siren Head is a vicious, aggressive creature that literally takes no exception to killing anybody. It'll kill whatever, you know, children, adults, what have you, and is very much a predator. And some of the drawings are even scarier because it shows like Siren Head's like siren opening up and there's like teeth in there. But with all of that said, just like Slender Man, this, albeit being scary, is just a really well thought out story. Trevor did an amazing job of creating lore and a backstory to this figure and has some really amazing artwork to back it up. Some of his stuff looks like real photos being taken of said entity. And his artwork for his lore even backs it up to, like, he has cave drawings that look like prehistoric times. Someone drew Siren Head with tribesmen throwing spears at him and such. With the huge success from his story, Siren Head is getting his own video game and being featured in major popular forms of media. I want to point out that, yeah, it's not necessarily the normal stuff I talk about on the show. I usually do a dedicated creepypasta month and we move on and we don't really come back to it. And this definitely being a thing of straight fiction and there's no real argumentative way to put it, I still think it's really important to highlight these things from time to time. Because in reality, in, let's say, 50 to 100 years from now, when I'm long gone, let's say that people are going to dig up these creepypastas that people are writing about now, like Slender Man and Siren Head, and they're going to be running podcasts out there just like what I'm doing now. What people are creating now is potential for lore in the future, and what people are going to be studying from now until forever. People have an interest in things that scare them. And in this case, while it be fictional and no chance of it being real, it's still a really interesting topic of discussion for the paranormal. To my friend's son, I just want to say that it's totally okay to be frightened of things like this. To an unknowing bystander, coming across this thing online, you may think it might be just another cryptid sighting. Just know that you are very brave, and your inner strength can scare off these bad vibes you're getting. And let's just say that off chance that this thing may be real, your host with the most enjoys toast won't let anything bad happen to you. I'd hunt this thing down for you. Sleep well, kiddo. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to Bob After Dark this week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you guys sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I want to wish you the sweetest of dreams of them all. Good night, everybody, and remember the most two important rules I could teach you with Bob After Dark. Not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Good night, everybody.
Memoriam Development.